126 this morning, Psalm 126. Right there in the middle of your Bible, you'll find the large book of Psalms. And so find page or chapter 126, and that'll be a blessing. And we will read the first three verses of this psalm as the text for our message today. And that'll be what we'll preach from in just a few moments here. Psalm 126. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good word. By the way, I meant to say earlier that last Sunday night, about 10:30 p.m., we took a lightning strike here at the church that fried our phone system, and it's been out all week. It will be out for the next 5 days. It will not be repaired until Friday. We do have one of the old analog phones that's hooked up to one line now, so you can call the church. But if you've been trying, have been frustrated, that's why. The voicemail is working, so if you need to use that, do so. I understand what it is about this corner. This is about the third time we've been hit by lightning here. And they said it's just some buildings. I guess Riverside Health Center out here on 45 gets hit more than any building in town, they were saying. So, but that's what happened. Our clocks were frozen on the phone display at 10:30 p.m., and it was a lightning strike that fried it. So if you've been trying to call, that's the difficulty. All right, here we go. Verse 1, please join me on verse 2. Our Bible says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you this morning for this text and pray, dear God, that you'll please speak to our hearts from it. Thank you, Lord, for the reality of your blessings. And God, we join with the Jews in that day to say that the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. We rejoice today in your blessings. Would you please help us now in the message and speak to our hearts. Bless the song and the message in the song and the message to follow from your Bible. Please, dear God, we'll thank you in Christ's name, your precious Son's name. Amen.
Is at hand, a little boy and his lamb make their way to the tabernacle door. As his lamb was led away, a tear streamed down his face as he watched from a distance. You could hear him say, heaven's throne, he saw us hopeless and alone. To redeem us, he would have to send his Son. As Jesus left that holy place, a tear streamed down God's face. All of heaven then grew silent. You could hear him say, my precious lamb, you cannot save. Man, to redeem the price you must pay. Praise the Lord.
Thank you. Great song for our hearts this morning. I want to draw your attention to verse number 3 here in this chapter. And the Bible says, "The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad." That's the title of the message. We are glad. And let's pray together today as we get into God's good book. Dear Father, thank you for the Lamb of God that came to take away our sin. Thank you, Jesus, for leaving your home, for leaving your Father, as it were, where you've been at His side for eternity past, and coming to this old sin-cursed earth to redeem sinful man. And now, oh God, we have the great anticipation and the blessed hope of someday seeing the Lamb of God face to face. And we're so thrilled about that. God, if there's anybody here this morning in this crowd of people that is not sure that they're on their way to heaven, I pray that the Word of God might have power in their life today, that the Holy Spirit might have His presence here among us to work and convict and draw, and that our hearts would be helped and blessed. We're grateful for your goodness to us. And God, we need you to bless the message, speak to our hearts through it. And God, we'll be careful to thank you. In Jesus' name we pray and ask, amen. These words were sung by the Jews as they would make their way to the temple for the purpose of worship. Now, as you read the first verse, you understand that this psalm or song would have been, pardon me, used at the rebuilt temple. Like verse number 1, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. So this is the temple that was rebuilt by Ezra, by Zerubbabel, Ezra and those men. It prospered under the preaching of Haggai, Zechariah. We talked about that on Wednesday nights a couple of times here recently. This is the rebuilt temple. This is the one when they laid the foundation in Ezra. The Bible says the young people shouted and the old people wept because, you know, for the young people it was something new they'd never seen before. And for the old people, they were remembering the one that had existed before the captivity that was destroyed. And so this song was used as they were on its way to the rebuilt temple. So the Jews had returned to their homeland. They had reinstituted the worship at the temple, and they would sing this. And they would remembered what it was like when the captivity ended. And they said in verse number 1 that when the captivity ended, we were like them that dream. It was like a dream. The captivity ended, and the opportunity to return to Jerusalem, and all of it had happened so quickly. You know, even though they'd been in Jerusalem for 70 years, the end of the captivity took place quick. And then the decree to go back and rebuild, and the returning remnant, it all happened so fast. And the Jews said, we felt like it was a dream. You ever said that to a friend? You ever said that on some occasion? You know, you just thought to yourself, you know, it's like a dream. It's just like a dream. It's unbelievable how good it is. And that's what the Jews were saying. It was like a dream. It was too good to be true. And then you get to chapter 2, verse number 2, and the Bible talks about, "Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing, and there was great joy, and there was happiness, and there was gladness, and there was thankfulness that they had the opportunity to return to Jerusalem, experiencing, if you would, this great dream, and just full of joy." And even the unsaved people who worshiped false gods, they even said, "Boy, the Lord has done great things for them." Look at verse 2. "Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things." These are the people that aren't saved. These are the people that don't worship Jehovah God. And they were saying, as they witnessed these Jews with this joyful spirit and this singing and this rejoicing, and I mean their happiness and their thankful hearts, the heathen, the unsaved, said, "Boy, God's done some amazing things for them. Man, look what God has done for them." Now, what happened to them as far as the ending of the captivity and the returning to the homeland was so great that even the unsaved people said, "Man, the Lord has done great things for them." And that's a blessing when the unsaved are giving glory to God. Amen. That's a blessing. And so that's what was going on here. And then in verse number 3, you have their own testimony. So now it's their own testimony. Let's talk about what the unsaved people said. And now in verse 3, they got their own testimony. "The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad." You know, it would be selfish and it would be childish. It would be sinful if the unsaved recognized God's goodness on the Jews and the Jews were to miss it. That'd been sad. And so they recognized the goodness of God, and they said, you know, we are glad. It'd be like people living in foreign countries talking about how wonderful the United States of America is, and you and I not aware of how great it is to live in this country. And I'm glad we had the emphasis we had last Sunday morning and last Sunday night in the service on Memorial Day and those who've sacrificed their lives so that we could live in peace and safety. Sharon Thomason's, can I say this? Sharon, her dad is going to Washington, D.C. There is, you know, the World War II Memorial is the latest memorial out in D.C. If you've never seen it, it's beautiful. And so they've got some kind of program where they will fly World War II vets out to Washington, D.C. to tour and see the World War II Memorial. And so Hank is going on a plane full of veterans, World War II vets, to tour the when is he going, Tom? 26th, okay. Okay, so he's going out there to tour it. And they said that one of the when you're in the service and you're away from home, one of the biggest things is mail call. Mail call. And, you know, they come with the letters, you know, and to hear your name called that you got mail is a big deal. So on the plane, so what these people do, they encourage friends and family to write these World War II vets a letter, and on the plane they have mail call. And so Sharon asked if I would write a letter to Hank, so I had the great privilege of sitting down this week and penning a letter to Hank, and I thanked him for, you know, the peace and safety that me and my family have enjoyed. He laid his life on the line for us to enjoy that. I had the great privilege of thanking him for that and hope they'll get to read that letter or one like it on the plane for him. And I'm glad we had that emphasis. You know, America is not a perfect country, but brother, just take a trip. Take a trip. Get on a plane and go somewhere. And with all of its imperfections, when you fly back in and come through customs, you'll fall on your knees and kiss the ground and say, thank God I'm back in America. Amen. So, you know, even this road construction, I know it's inconvenient. You know, but have you been in third world countries where they don't keep up with the roads? You'll bless the day they're doing these roads out here. That's the honest truth, brother, even though it's a little inconvenient now. So, you know, it'd be like people around the world understanding how great it is to live in the United States of America and our own people not to recognize how great that it is. So these Jews are saying, you know, even the lost people understand how good God has been to us. We're not going to miss it. We see it too. God has made us glad. Now, that's the interpretation, excuse me, of those three verses and kind of the setting of this passage of Scripture. Now, today, here, 2010, June 6th, we come to another Sunday on which we are celebrating as a church our anniversary. This is the 41st anniversary of Faith Baptist Church. Last year we had the 40th, had a good time. This is the 41st. And for me and my family, we are celebrating 20 years as been in the ministry and serving here in this church. And boy, it's been a blessing. It's just been a blessing. I was just reliving those days. Driving down the road here to how the church was in those days. And Grace got here. She said, I was thinking all the way this morning about 20 years ago, a small group of people we had. So people had to wear so many hats in that day to get everything done. And what God has done for us and how good God has been. And the reality, friend, for Faith Baptist Church, we have great cause today for laughter and singing and rejoicing. We don't want to miss it. We are glad. Now, I'm not saying there hasn't been any sorrows and defeats and valleys to go through and rushing rivers to cross. There have been plenty of those over these 20 and in 41 years. Some of you folks that were here and now since the beginning of this thing 41 years ago, there's been a lot of that type of stuff. But I'll tell you what, it's been worth every mile. Like the choir saying. And I'm glad in my heart this morning. And I want you to be glad in your heart this morning. And these people were. They said, we're glad. Man, we are glad. I want you to see, first of all, I want you to see, number one, the reality of great things. The reality of great things. You know, they said, the Lord hath done great things. The Lord, the great things had been done for the Israelites. Great things had been done for that remnant of Jews that returned there and got the temple worship reinstituted. And they didn't want to characterize the accomplishments as good. They didn't want to characterize the accomplishments as average. They wanted to characterize their accomplishments as great. And so they didn't say average things have been done. They didn't say good things have been done. They said great things have been done. Great things have been accomplished over the... That's what they were saying, great things. And I would say this morning with a thankful heart that great things have been accomplished over the years at Faith Baptist Church. Great things. Now, not just average, not just good. Great things. Great things. I just thought about a few just quickly this week. I don't have time to preach on all of them because I want two more main points. But let me tell you something great that's happened. The gospel has been proclaimed. And that's a great thing. That's a great thing. Now, to the, you know, we're born in America. You hear the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ from the time you're a toddler in some cases. From the time you're able to be conscious enough to hear a story. You hear about Jesus dying on the cross and the resurrection and all of that. But friend, in some parts of our world, that blessed story has never found its way. People live in darkness today when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel of Jesus Christ has been proclaimed from the pulpit of Faith Baptist Church. And that gospel about His death, His burial, and resurrection is necessary because men and women and boys and girls are under the penalty of sin and deserving of the wages of sin, which is the second death or eternal separation from God forever in the lake of fire. And every human that has ever been brought into this earth came into this earth under the penalty of sin with that hanging over our heads. But praise God for the gospel, the good news that Jesus came to this earth and went to that cross and took in His own body our sins upon the tree and suffered and bled and died, was buried 3 days and three nights later, rose from that grave to prove He was the Son of God with power. Thank God for that message that washes our sins away and makes us saved. We don't have to go to hell. Did you hear that? We don't have to go to hell. So you shouldn't get saved because you don't want to go to hell. You get saved like you want to get. I'm thankful this morning I don't have to go to hell. Thankful that the gospel of Jesus Christ keeps me out of that place. And friend, if you're not saved this morning, that gospel that has been proclaimed from this pulpit, from all different pulpits physically speaking, different pulpits over the years in different locations between Kankakee and then in different locations on this very property. But even though the location of the proclamation may have changed, the gospel message is still the same today as it was 41 years ago when Tom Smith met with that little nucleus of people and began Faith Baptist Church. It is the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ that washes your sins away, forgives you, and takes away the penalty of sin. If you're not saved, I would invite you to trust Christ as your Savior. May the greatest day in your life. The gospel has been proclaimed. That's a great thing. But let me say this. Not only has the gospel been proclaimed, the gospel has been propagated. And that's a great thing. The gospel has not been limited to the four walls of our church building. It has not been kept inside the church house. It hasn't been isolated to an elect few because we don't believe that Jesus died for just a certain few people who are elect. We believe that His death was vicarious. That means for every person, for everybody. And the gospel has been propagated in that manner. It has been spread from person to person and house to house. How many times would you guesstimate in 41 years has the gospel of Jesus Christ been taken up and down the streets and lanes of this community and down the streets of Bourbonnais and Bradley and Kankakee and then out into surrounding towns and doors and apartments and mobile home parks and townhouses and condominiums and tracts have been left over and over and over throughout this Kankakee land area. The gospel has been propagated by Faith Baptist Church, and that's a great thing. I remember a few years ago for a spring contest, we had a spring program. We had some kind of emphasis on soul winning, a special kind of emphasis. I think we had, Brother Mike, it might have been when you were here. We organized like soul winning several times a day, different times. And it was all week long. It was Monday through Friday. It was all week long and different times during the day. And people would be going out. And I was out like a Thursday evening. We already been out on Tuesday or whatever, but was out on a Thursday evening. And I was over here in those streets that are named for the Civil War, Bunker Hill and Concord and all. That wasn't Civil War, was it? That was Revolutionary War. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, getting the wars right. That's right. That would be Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson. That's right. Okay, yeah. But all stop. Yeah, I found a quote. We had a Sunday school lesson on the Bible this morning, and they had a quote in there from Ulysses S. Grant. I wouldn't use it. going to quote the guy who burned my hometown down. He's a drunk anyway. What's he care about the Bible? But anyway, you know what I'm talking about over here, okay? And we might have been together. Might have been you and me, Mike. We were knocking doors and just passing out tracts and everything. It's summer, spring evening. Windows, doors open, you know, people. And we came up the sidewalk. We came up the driveway, turned to the sidewalk, headed to the door. And I mean, people started scattering like bugs when you turn the light on, man. And I mean, they were getting out of Dodge, out of the living room. And I heard one of them say, "It's those people from Faith Baptist again." So they were running. They were scattering like crazy to get away from there. And I thought to myself then, I remember what a blessing that was to my heart, that before we got to the door, they knew it was the people from Faith Baptist Church. Because for these weeks and months and years, by the grace of God, we're not the only ones. I'm not saying I'm just saying thank God. Well, I'd be glad this morning that the gospel has been propagated from this place. It hasn't been held into the four little walls here, and us four and no more, and God only saves a select elect few. No, the gospel has been taken to whosoever will in this community. And I believe that's exactly how it's supposed to be. But wait a minute, not just propagated here in Bourbonnais, Kankakee, and Bradley, but the gospel has been propagated around the world from this church. By funds and by person. That's a blessing, isn't it? Since 1980, when this church, in I believe it was February, had their first missions conference. And, of course, that was 10 years before I got here. Some of you folks were here then. And Tim Starr had a Faith Promise missions conference in February. First one you had, Don Sisk came from BIM to teach and preach on Faith Promise giving. And there was enough committed to take on 13 missionary families. And from that day, from that month in 1980 until now, the church has faithfully supported missions around the world. When we came 20 years ago, the Faith Promise giving was down. But it didn't cease because there were people here who, even in the transition of pastors, believed in the propagation of the gospel to get it to the world, not just our area, but the world. And you know, Maud was secretary in those days, and she'll remember we had to take money out of the general fund to make up the mission payments. But by the grace of God, in the thin times financially, we never missed missionary support from Faith Baptist Church. And that's one of the things that a lot of these missionaries will say when they come in from the field and come by to report. They'll say, "Thank you for your faithful support. You guys never miss." And I say, friend, that's a blessing. It makes my heart glad that Faith Baptist Church has been that kind of a church. To proclaim the gospel, that's a great thing. To propagate the gospel, that's a great thing. It's gone out of here in way of person in the Oswardy family. And Clint Reardon and Gina Schrock and Jason Lowe's. And now, of course, Ben and Ashley. And I'm probably forgetting somebody that I should be mentioning right now. And Jason Lowe's just getting ready to start his church down in Bahamas in the next couple of weeks. You know, that's the gospel has gone forth as people have taken it, not just in this area, but around the world from Faith Baptist Church. That ought to make you glad this morning. It makes me glad. So the gospel has been proclaimed. The gospel has been propagated. The Bible has been preached. Not just the gospel, but the whole counsel of the Word of God. And that's a great thing. And I'll tell you what's a great thing, folks. It's a great thing that the Bible that Tom Smith began with in 1968, organized with in 1969, is the same Bible that I'm holding in my hand today. I'm not talking about this book, but I'm talking about that old 1611 King James inspired, preserved Word of God. These trendy new versions with their changes and their lack of power have not been opened from this pulpit and the podiums in these Sunday school classrooms, brother. There only one Bible has been preached from the pulpit of Faith Baptist Church, and that's King James 1611. I'm glad about that. I'm glad about that. I'm glad we preached that Bible. And then let me say this, another great thing. The identification has not changed. The identification has not changed. Oh, the location has changed. And boy, God bless Gary Martin and those people back in that day, in 1974, whatever it was, had the foresightedness by the grace of God to purchase these 8 acres on this street corner up here. Who would ever know what would happen to Bourbonnais 30 years later? It's unbelievable. The main thoroughfare for all of these years in Bourbonnais has been Armour Road. Unbelievable. And God gave 8 acres right here and you folks that gave and gave the money so the property could be purchased and the church. Oh, the location has changed. The sign has changed. Thank God for what it used to be. Amen. Donna Griffin, I was thinking about you and changing that sign out there all those years with the kid putting, and now we have that fancy sign where the things come down, Brother Scott, and at least they don't blow away. And man, we used old days of wind like last night. Our letters would be scattered all over the place. And Donna would have to come. The sign has changed. The buildings have changed. I thought about that this morning when I came down the road. I thought about that. Brother Gomez called yesterday afternoon, talked to me a little bit about the funeral. I didn't get to go to the funeral yesterday, but it was sad. He told me a little bit about it, so forth. And I'm talking about sad about Michael. And we're talking about the bill. We were talking about 20 years. And of course, he was so instrumental in helping us with our first building program. And the buildings have changed. But, you know, I'm glad the identification has not changed. This is a Baptist church. If you're visiting with us this morning, make no apology for that. None whatsoever. And I think it's vitally important. I'm not here to crucify any denomination or group of people. I'm not here to crucify folks that like to associate themselves with a non-denominational church or organization. But I make no apologies, and I'm thankful that it has been a Baptist church. I believe the Bible makes you a Baptist. I believe that with all of my heart. I do not espouse the teaching that says that, you know, only Baptists are going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I do not believe in a Baptist bride of Jesus Christ. Only Baptist people saved and baptized in the Baptist church will be there. I believe all the New Testament saved in this day and age will meet with Jesus and be part of that bride. But I'm not ashamed of being a Baptist. I like what Dr. Curtis Hudson said years ago. He said, Baptist born and Baptist bred, and when I die, I'll be Baptist dead. Amen. And for some, that's dead, that dead comes before we die. You get that in a minute, amen, but that's the honest truth, yeah. Yeah. So I think Curtis Hudson was the one to say, well, what would you be if you weren't a Baptist? He said, I'd be ashamed. That's what he said. He said, you're bragging. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you, I'm glad we're a Baptist church. I believe the Bible makes you, by conviction, the doctrinal beliefs and practice of Baptist people through the ages have been endorsed and practiced by this church. And I want to tell you, dotting the landscape of the USA are congregations of people who have changed. They've lost their identification. When I was out in Iowa, I went to school. When I went to Hiles Anderson, probably the most well-known name was Nelms. Nelms. And I didn't know them, but they were from my hometown. David and Johnny and Lewis Nelms they're out of Curtis Hudson's church, Forest Hills Baptist Church in Decatur, Georgia, down there. And they came. They were at Hiles Anderson before I was. And I got there, and you heard about the Nelms. And David had just graduated. He was working for Brother Vineyard. And boy, they were motivators. They were fired up, charged up guys. And I got to be friends with Lewis. Lewis and I roomed together for a while at the college. And David and Lewis went out to Maryland, Chesterton, Maryland, started a church out there, and God blessed it. And then we got word that Des Moines Baptist Church and Robert Winveen had resigned his church out there, Bob Winveen, and the Nelms boys, David and Lewis, were coming to Des Moines to take the Des Moines Baptist Church. And I was so excited. I was so excited because I knew Lewis. I wasn't real good friends with David. I didn't want to be good friends with David. He had a date with my wife before she became my wife. Amen. So I didn't want to get around David. I didn't want to smack David in the next week. So that's what I wanted to do. But anyway, drove out to Iowa to see her. Can you imagine that? Nut. But anyway, we had camp together at Cedar River before it was Cedar River. Dave Smith was a youth director. And we had Lewis come down, bring some of the kids from. David was still pastoring in Chesterton, and Lewis came to Des Moines, and Lewis got the church going until David could get there, kind of interim pastor, and they're brothers. And Lewis was our camp speaker, brought a bunch of kids down. We had a great big camp, Tumble Baptist Temple, Marion Avenue Baptist Church, and Tabernacle Baptist out of Bloomfield, and Calvary Baptist in Keokuk, where Brother Dave was, and Des Moines Baptist. And man, we had a big time before it was ever Cedar River. We had a big time there. We had a great time. Then David came. And they had a heart for people. Great soul winners. and love people. I mean, just the love for people oozed out of them. But then, boy, I tell you what, things began to change. It grieved our hearts. I have a tape somewhere in my attic. I have a tape of a message that David preached in the pulpit out there on why we're taking the name Baptist off of our church. And it went from Des Moines Baptist Church to Grace Church. And he said this statement. I can put it on the tape. He said, I have found that the name Baptist offends more people than it helps. Offends more people than it helps. Well, I'm sorry, friend, but truth is offensive. And I'm not bragging. I'm not trying. If you're not a Baptist, I'm glad you're here this morning. And if you enjoy the service, God bless you. I'm glad that you're here. But we make no apology for the identification of being a Baptist church. I am glad for it. I'm glad the gospel's been proclaimed. The gospel's been propagated. The Bible has been preached. The identification has not changed. And that's a great thing. The reality of great things. Now, I got to hurry. Number two, the recipients of great things. The recipients of great things. They said, the Lord hath done great things. What's the next two words? For us. For us. The Jews realized that the great things had been done for them. So they had reason personally to sing and laugh and rejoice because they were the recipients of great things. And people, you have reason. We have reason. All of us have reason this morning to sing and laugh and rejoice as a church family. We're glad because we've been the recipients of great things at Faith Baptist Church. Some of you have been saved here or saved because of this ministry. Some of you have been saved here. I was coming down the road yesterday from after the family conference. We had the Brother Kenny Graham and his wife were our special speakers. And they didn't fly out of O'Hare until 7:40. And so we had them out to the house along with Brother John Robertson, who pastors in Clinton, who is the dad of Jessica. And so their family was here, and Jessica is Luke's favorite interest right now on planet Earth. And so we had them out. Brother Robertson came out of Brother Graham's church, for he was there for a few years under Brother Graham. So we had them all out to the house, and Brother Robertson and I took Brother and Mrs. Graham to O'Hare. It gave us the time to talk. We had some interesting conversation on the way home, but by ourselves. But we took Brother and Mrs. Graham. So we're driving down 57 yesterday. Brother John and I are engaged in conversation. And all of a sudden, this vehicle pulls up. You know, you sense a vehicle passing you, you know. But this one pulls up beside us and just is there. I looked over, and here's these faces waving and everything. It was Brother Steve Eicher. And his mom was in the front seat. I recognized his mother. And I recognized her. I said, hey, you know. I said, hey, well, you couldn't hear me. I was waving, you know. Hey. So, and, you know, the van, you have tinted glass in your windows, you know. And I couldn't see. I thought it was just Steve and his mom when they passed. When he went 80 miles an hour, you know, by us. I'm just teasing you. But when he passed, I saw little hands through the tinted windows. I saw little hands waving. And boy, bless my heart. I told Brother John, I said, they got saved at Faith Baptist Church because of faith that had privilege of leading to the Lord. Then, you know, some of you folks have been saved. And he said, isn't that precious? I said, that's the most precious thing about serving in a church, seeing people that got saved. I said, but you had your lives changed because you got saved through the ministry of Faith Baptist Church. Some of you have been married here. And God gave you a spouse and a home and a family. Many of you have seen prayers answered here. And we were in a tight spot or a pressured situation. And the people prayed for you. Brother Greg, you know, crazy things come to your mind. And I, when I wrote that in my notebook this week, you know what popped in my mind was you guys living out there in that little old house in Moments. And you were renting it, I think. And they came and said, you got to move. And you didn't have any time. I mean, remember that? And boy, Greg said, pray for us. And we prayed back in those days. And God gave them the house over here in Bradley that they moved into. And, you know, just pray. I mean, you forget about some things. You know, little things, big things. God's very good to answer our prayers, friend. Some have seen your children prosper here. You've seen them grow up and get married and settle into their life's work. And I suppose that, you know, along with other things, is one of the most blessed things. Just, you know, I couldn't hardly control myself to sing with the choir this morning and look in the choir and see two of my own kids who, one was just 18 months when we came here. No, 9 months when we came here. And one didn't exist when we came here. And there they are singing and and so happy and seem to be on their way to their life and life's purpose for them and maybe even life's mates. And yeah, I got a phone call from a toe-headed idiot this week. Amen. So, so that kind of, but you know, to watch your children grow up. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? Yep. I'm talking about all of ours. Watch our children grow up. And many of us have had our hearts squeezed and blessed and helped. And God has come through these years and graced us with His presence. And friend, that's a great thing. That's a great thing. We've been the recipients of great things. I'm out of time. I've been the recipient of great things personally. It's hard to believe 20 years have gone by so quickly. Hard to believe. And my heart has been so blessed to be here with you people. I hear mean things from some pastors about how the church is done. Well, I try to sympathize with them and feel their... And I go away and think, you know, I've never had to go through that. Oh, there have been some isolated stuff over the years. We were supposed to go to see Ben and Ashley back in February that one time, you know. And remember how it got so unstable, you know. And the State Department sends us an email and says, do not travel to Madagascar, you know, all this stuff, you know. So we didn't go. I come back to the church, and I had a service on Sunday, you know. Come back on Monday, and there's a note under my door. And I don't usually read anonymous mail, but I thought it was a banner or it was big print, and it said Coward of the Year Award. It's a Coward of the Year Award. The Coward of the Year Award. Who is this for? Sure, it can't be me. What a Coward of the Year. And so I got to read and said, you know, of all things for your daughter-in-law to be in Madagascar and you're too scared to go there and visit. Oh, what in this world? God, this person's demented. I'm telling you what. Fell off the wagon, hit their head or something. I don't know. But I thought about that. And I thought that's just stupid. But that has been so. We laughed about it in the office. I said, "Look at this. But those type of things have been so minute to the blessings and the things done for my family, and the fact that all of my children love this place, and if they could work their wills." The girls, anyway, this is where they'd be with their husbands. They can't do that. But oh, how they love this place. And you folks have been so kind to me and my family, my wife and I. I've been a personal recipient of God's good blessings for all these 20 years. Well, my heart's glad this morning. I don't want to miss it. Sometimes you visit in this area. You knock on the door, somebody that may not be saved goes to another church. They'll say, man, that church has seen some wonderful things. They're not even here. And here we sit sometimes. If we're not careful, we'll miss it. The recipient of great things. And then, let me just say this, because I got to get this way, and I won't take long. It should take longer on it. The resource of great things. The resource for great things is the Lord. The great things that have been done here for us are more than what one man could do. They're more than what men and women combined could do. They're more than what any human could accomplish. The great things that have been done personally for us here have come from the Lord God Almighty. And I want to praise Him this morning. I'm glad Tom's song was about the Lord. I want the Lord to be exalted in my heart. I want the Lord to be exalted in your heart this morning. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And so, folks, whether the great things have been personal or whether the great things have been family related or whether the great things are corporate here as a church, they all come from His hand. And I'll quit. You know what the amazing thing about that is? deserve any of it. We can't take one merit to Him and say, all right, now, here it is. Give us what we deserve. If He gave us what we deserve, we banish to the lake of fire this moment. This moment. All of these blessings have come from Him and from His hand to people who didn't deserve even one. No wonder they said, whereof we are glad. At Faith Baptist Church, we've never taken the attitude that we've turned the corner as a church. There's so much room for improvement. It's not funny. In my life and your life and the lives of our families and as a church, we got a great task in front of us to keep evangelizing this area and the world. But for a day, I think it's time just to step back and rejoice and laugh and say, we certainly ought to be glad. The Lord hath done great things for us. Let's pray together. Dear Father, my heart is full. To look out in the faces of these people. Drive down this road and see what you've done. We say with the Jewish folks this morning back in that time, we are glad. We're so glad. Thank you, dear God. Thank you for helping us and allowing us the blessings, the privilege of being here. These wonderful people. Thank you, God, for those who've stayed longer than I've been. Thank you for many who've come and stayed for a long time now. I want to thank you, Lord, for those who were here and left us. And of course, Lord, some have left and joined you. So it's been a wonderful run. And we don't want to miss it. The reality of great things, the recipients of great things, the resource of great things, all came from your hand. Help us, dear God. Sure be thankful. Be glad. Sing and laugh and rejoice together as a church family. Our heads are bowed and our hearts, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder this morning, but just who would say, Brother Angel, I know that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. If I died, I know where I'd spend eternity. I can give that testimony today that I'm saved and I know it. Would you raise your hand, please? If that's your testimony, you're saved and you know it. Thank you. You may take your hands down. Would there be one who would say, I am not sure that I am on my way to heaven. I do not know for certain that if I die, I'll go to heaven, Pastor. Pray for me. Anybody like that here this morning? Would you raise your hand? Just let me pray. Won't come to you or call your name. I probably don't even know it in some cases. But just raise your hand. I don't have that sweet assurance in my heart that when I leave this world, I'll be in heaven. Pray for me. Anybody like that here this morning? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. All right. I wonder if here this morning you'd say, Pastor, I've been saved, but I've never been baptized since I've been saved. I want you to pray for me. I've not followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that here this morning? Side to side, front to back. Anybody? Saved but not baptized, all right? Church family, we got a lot to be glad for and be thankful for as a church. And boy, you know, the Jews said, you know, the heathen see the blessings and the heathen see that we've been handed great things. We don't want to miss it. And our hearts are glad. And I know you are. But maybe take a moment this morning in your seat or at the altar if God moves on your heart just to kneel and thank Him for His blessings. And yes, we have a lot of work to do. But for a little while today, we can rejoice. Praise His name for all the things He's done for us. Great things, whereof we are glad. Father, bless, I pray, our hearts this morning for the message from Your Word. Be with the people today. God, if there's one person here who's not sure that they're saved, I pray that, God, the message of salvation in Jesus Christ would draw them to the Savior. Would You please do that? And we'll thank You for it. Help us to honor You in the invitation in Christ's name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let us play a song of invitation. If you're not saved, would you come? Let us take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. If you've been saved, never baptized, I'd love for you to come to our Lord and believe His baptism.